Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared Haben. I am joined by the beautiful Vanessa Grimaldi. Yay! Round of applause for Vanessa. We have Easton and Mark in studio. Dean is still halfway across the world. Who the hell knows where that man is? And we're going to have a dating expert, Susan Trombetti, who's been on the show before. She will be on a little bit later, but let's catch up with Vanessa. Vanessa, how is your life going? Are you dating Peter from The Bachelor?
Straight to the point. It's so funny. So I spoke about this with Dean, I think the week that Peter and I met in person. And it was a random encounter. He was in Seattle. I was in Seattle visiting Taylor from Nick's season. And so we all went out one night to do a paint night. He came to join us because he had, I don't think he had anyone to like hang out with that night because his flight got canceled or whatever. So we all hung out. And obviously, as soon as he posted a picture, it went viral. And everyone's like, the minute you post a picture of someone with the opposite gender, everyone starts assuming that you're automatically dating. And it's like, no, there's like zero romantic interest there. At least on, I don't think on his end either, but
well,
no,
especially,
I'm not dating Peter. I just thought it was Krauski? Krauski. What's his last name?
I think it's Krauss. K-R-A-U-S. Well, anytime you post a picture, like Vanessa said, with the opposite sex on Instagram, you immediately assume these two people are dating, specifically when you're from the Bachelor franchise. So I remember, I mean, whenever I post a picture with Ashley, people would immediately assume that we were dating, or they would comment saying they'd want us to be together. But I would post pictures with other girls from the franchise too, and then people would say the exact same thing. So I was a little confused on that. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. That's too bad that you guys aren't dating. That'd be a really great story, especially with this podcast. But that's okay.
Speaking of Bachelor people, I saw that you were in Vegas with my one and only ex from The Bachelor.
Are you speaking about a man named Nick?
I am speaking of a man named Nick.
Well, obviously, Nick and I are good friends. And I was in Vegas this past weekend because, randomly enough, I was a part of the Chippendales show.
I saw that. So how did that work? Did they contact you?
So long story short, a while ago, I got offered to be a part of the Chippendales show. They reached out to me and they were interested to have Ashley in the audience and then me a part of the show, kind of have it almost like a gimmicky thing, you know, like host a bachelor night type thing. And I was very interested in it because I have a hard time saying no to anything because I only live once and I really want to do as much as I can. And now on my death, you know, right before I die, I can say, hey, you know what? I was a part of a Chippendales show. But it was cool. So we went there and I wanted Tanner and Jade to come too, because I wanted my friends there. I wanted people for not only moral support, but also so they could just make fun of me and ridicule me throughout the entire experience. And it was a lot of fun. We went to Vegas and I did a little rehearsal beforehand, did some dance choreography very shortly. They didn't let me do as much as I wanted to because they were actually really cool. They didn't want to make me feel uncomfortable in any way, but it was cool to get up on stage. I was wearing the bow tie and the cuffs and I had my shirt off. So before I went up there, I didn't fast, but I was trying to get my body ready. So about 2 weeks before we went to Vegas, I was trying to eat as healthy as possible. I was working out every day. I got my first ever spray tan. Which was quite an experience. I was nervous I was going to turn orange, but it actually turned out really nicely. And
did Ashley spray?
No, I went to a spray tan salon in, I think, Beverly Hills.
You went all the way. You actually got it professionally done.
Oh, hell yeah. But it was weird because I was expecting in the spray tan salon, I've never gotten one, but I was expecting a machine to spray me. But
you have that.
No. There was a girl that I was just in boxers and she sprayed my entire body right there. It was a very intimate experience.
I had a similar experience the first time I did it too.
What did you get a spray tan for?
I did it when I went on my honeymoon to Hawaii. I wanted to look nice.
That's so sweet.
And my dad is a bodybuilder and I used to help out with his spray tans. And I told the girl working there about it and she was like, oh, what machine did you use? And I was like, I just used a paintbrush. And
Wait, did you do it yourself?
I used to help my dad with the hard to reach spots, like on his back and everything.
How old were you?
I was like 10, 11. Yeah.
I didn't even know spray tan exists back then.
Yeah, neither did I.
Oh, it's a time honored tradition. It goes back a long way. I don't mean to hijack, but spray tanning is an intimate thing to do with somebody.
Oh, very intimate. It was just a room. And actually, Vanessa, your ex Nick was in the room with me. he came
because he got spray tan almost every week for dancing.
That's what he said, because I was asking advice about it, and he was like, well, I got a spray tan pretty much every week when I was on Dancing with the Stars. But it was cool. I wanted to be tan because I didn't want to go up on stage and have people be blinded by my paleness. And so it was fun. I love being on stage. So being on stage with the other Chippendale dancers, they were super cool. I thought these guys were going to be super bros and just like pretty much annex me out of the group and be like, who's this guy? Who does he think he is? But they were super welcoming, super warm. Yeah, that's what I was expecting it to be like a click, you know, especially these Chippendale dancers. They're jacked, they're ripped, they have women all over them. So you expect them to have a pretty big ego, but a lot of them were super down earth, super welcoming, super nice. And going on stage, they made me feel very comfortable. At the finale was when I had to go out on stage with my shirt off and just a bow tie and cuffs. And there was like a little dance number that they do.
Did you have underwear?
No, oh, I had pants on. I had pants on.
Cuffs. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I was just freewheeling it out there, just the bow tie. But it was. They have like a little dance number, and my thing, I was supposed to just go to the front of the stage and like lift my fist. But then I looked around me, and I noticed that the steps were pretty simple that they were doing. So I was like, I can do that, guys. If you just give me like two or three times of practice, I can do that. So I ended up practicing with them, getting the dance steps down. And it was cool because one of the guys next to me, he gave me like a little cue. So when the beat was about to drop, when they started doing their moves, he was going to be like, okay, I'm going to yell, here we go. So as soon as I heard, here we go, that's when I knew, okay, right, left, out, up, boom. And so it was fun. I had a blast. Even Ashley noticed. Oh, there it is right there. That's me. How did you get that?
I saw it. It's out on YouTube, and I recommend everybody to Google it. I've only seen you with clothes on. I didn't realize that you're actually in really good shape.
I'm in really good shape. Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
You blend right in with the Chippendales guys.
I blended in more than I anticipated. The only thing is they don't have hair on their chest, and obviously I'm a very hairy man.
Not very hairy.
But on the chest. Out.
Okay, but it looks good.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I didn't fast, like I said, for 2 weeks, but I worked out as much as I possibly could. And the day before, I barely ate anything. And I tried not to drink a lot of water because I didn't want to be bloated. And then it was funny because when we first got on stage, I had my clothes on and we did a little bit of a game show where I had to judge lap dances. So we called three women from the audience up on stage and I was like the director who had to judge each lap dance and hand out a rose to whoever won.
Oh God.
I know. Of course. You know, you got to involve roses somehow. And then I went backstage and I wasn't on until the finale, which was like a half hour later, which would be the first time that I didn't have my shirt on. And in my dressing room, there were weights. So for the half hour,
nice.
I am lifting weights in my room by myself, like sweating. And then they had, it wasn't baby oil, but it was some sort of tanning oil. So I lubed myself up with that to make myself as shiny as possible, because that adds a little definition, whether you believe it or not.
Absolutely. And just even tan adds definition. You automatically feel like 10 times better when you're a little bit, you know, darker.
Oh, totally. So that's why I made sure I had a tan. I had the oil on. I was getting my last little pump in. I didn't drink any water. And then I walked downstairs and I was apparently really shiny. And one of the Chippendale dancers was like, oh, well, I see you got the oil on. And Easton, you just sent me a very nice picture of myself from stage with my fist in the air. Very proud. You know what it was? I've always wanted to be in a boy band and I felt like I was in the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, nice.
Everyone has like a sexual face on. Jared is like, yeah.
I was so proud. I was like, I did it. I did it, you guys.
I mean, that white belt, though, was that your decision? Because that's questionable.
No. That's like their uniform. So at the end, they all wear black jeans with that white belt and white shoes. So they gave me the jeans and the belt. Yeah, I don't own that white belt. Thank you, Vanessa, with the huge silver buckle. It'd be a good look, though. I'd wear it now. But it was cool. They gave me some souvenirs. They gave me the bow tie and cuffs to wear.
Oh.
And then they gave me like these American flag boxers. It was a great experience. I loved every second of it.
Jared, I have a question for you. Yeah. So this might be TMI, but do you like role play?
In my personal life?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge role play guy.
After this experience, you might just show up. I don't know if you did you ever watch Sex in the City, where Samantha lies down naked with sushi rolls all over her body, and she waits for her boyfriend into the house. Maybe you're gonna show up like half naked with those boxers, and Ashley's gonna walk in one day, and there's like stripper music in the background.
I mean,
and you might have to move with that belt.
I'm not going to say that I wouldn't do a little Magic Mike number for Ashley in the privacy of our home. I may also have a pair of boxers that are tuxedo, so they have like a bow tie on the front of them, which are very classy, if I may say so myself. But I'm not huge into role play. I'm more of a, how do I put it? I'm a more of like a passionate
yeah.
man.
Yeah, I'm very passionate, but sometimes like my imagination runs like in so many different colors.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm like, I want to pretend to be this person. And I'll like randomly surprise the person I'm dating as like the masseuse. And I'll be like, hello, Mr. So-and-so. Welcome to my massage.
Well, this obviously begs the question, what is the craziest thing you've ever dressed up as?
Oh, me?
Oh, who, me? Who are you talking to?
I'll take that one,
Jared. Who do you
Jared,
think I'm talking to? Yeah, Easton, what's the craziest thing you've dressed up as?
I have a lot of costumes.
The craziest thing I've ever dressed up as?
I mean, a masseuse is pretty good.
Yeah, and I don't think anything crazy. I like the realistic idea of like, oh, I'm a baker. Well, can I bake you today?
Village people?
Have you ever been the dirty little school teacher?
No, because I feel like that's way too, like, no. I'm a school teacher. That's way too much.
Oh, that's fair. Yep.
Nope. Not going that far.
All right, that's fair.
All right, that's fair.
Well, could you do a teacher and a parent conference? Like, could that be a scenario?
Mark, yes, now we're talking.
Okay.
I'm just going to write
all
ideas now.
Write that
and
down.
For the next person I date.
Hold on. So you're telling me that faking being like a dirty teacher is too much, but a parent-teacher conference isn't?
I've never role-played that. But I think it's important to be, to explore when you're really comfortable with someone. And longest relationship I've ever had was 2 years and a half. And within those 2 years, we're very comfortable with each other, and I feel like I'm getting into way too much detail right now, but basically all this to say is I'm not against it if it's done safely and if it's done in a respectful manner.
I love every second of it. I'm a big lingerie guy, I'm not going to lie. That
really? I'm not. I'm like, I'm going to wear cotton granny panties and call it a day.
What? Mark, you're shaking your head over there. You're
I'm not a lingerie guy. No.
Interesting.
No, how do I phrase this?
Yeah.
I think that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary, but just like role play isn't necessary.
Okay.
It's fun.
So I'm, it's so expensive being a female. Like the other day, obviously it was like, I had to go to the pharmacy. It was the day of the month. And I'm like, it's so expensive. I have to buy tampons. And then I have to think of like, you know, women who are on birth control. That's expensive every month too. And then I have to buy lingerie, and then I have to shave my legs. And I have, you know, there's all these things that women need to do in order for what we think is what men are looking for.
Yeah, but who
right?
says, well, I'm assuming the lingerie would be for a guy you're in a relationship with. So it might be the guy's responsibility to buy the lingerie he wants to see you in.
Okay, there we go. Then yes, I don't buy myself lingerie.
Yeah, that's fair. I can understand that. I've bought
like
lingerie.
Extra money on lingerie that's basically not gonna stay on for long.
Yeah, but that's the best part about it is that it's not meant to be on for long.
I always had a rule. See what you think of this. I always had a rule before I was married that I would never buy a girlfriend lingerie because that would be then worn in the future with a different guy.
Ooh.
And that always bothered me. Now that I'm married, it's no problem and whatever. But at the time, that was a rule. Is that a fair rule or am I being silly?
I guess I never thought that far ahead.
Well, you're engaged now, so
yeah.
You're done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would buy Ashley. I have bought Ashley lingerie. I'm not afraid of it.
Have you bought previous girlfriend's lingerie? Okay.
Well, what's that smile, Jared?
Let's see. Ooh, that's a toughie. Gotta go back in the old journal. Anyway, moving on.
Vanessa, do you have lingerie that previous boyfriends have bought you?
No boyfriend has ever bought me lingerie.
Oh, wow.
I guess they like granny panties.
Okay.
I don't believe for one second that you only wear granny panties.
No, listen, I literally, when I go to bed, these are my pajamas right now. Like, it's an army top, and that's what I'll show up in, and like some old baggy pants that have holes in it. I'm not sexy when I go to bed. Like, I'm not. And I don't feel like you know, obviously every once in a while, that's why I'm like, the whole idea of role play is exciting because I get to like be this character and, you know, but when it comes to that part, I just don't feel like I have to put in that extra. It's really bad to say.
No, I'm not saying every day. This is a very limited, like, hey, special date night. I'm going to get dressed up. You should get dressed up, too. And let's do something. You shouldn't wear lingerie every day. I do have a question, though, about women's underwear. Is there, like, I feel like in every teen movie I've seen, there's, like, the one pair of underwear that women wear that, like, it's, like, black lace. That's, like, the one they're going to wear on the big night. Is that true?
On the big night, like the day.
Well, do you have like a pair? Like you're like, if I ever want to go out, like if I might be seen in these, I'm wearing these.
I think there's like a pair of underwear that every woman feels very sexy in. Mm-hmm. Whether that's like a pair of booty shorts or like booty, you know, like it shows a little bit of the butt cheek.
Yeah, the bottom.
Or yeah, something where you feel like you feel good in. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to end up being that kind of night. It can also give you that boost of confidence when you're like, oh, I'm wearing my like, ooh, my nice bra, my matching underwear and bra tonight. And I'm going to go out and have fun and talk to a guy.
No, you never plan for it to happen, but you just prepare for it just in case. That's the big
thing. Do you do the opposite? Do you wear granny panties to ensure that it won't go any farther than you're planning on going?
I like won't shave for a month.
Yeah.
That's my strategy.
Well, you know, Susan's our guest today. She'd be good to weigh in on some of these topics. Let's get her in here in a minute to weigh in.
But before Susan comes in, I do want to talk about something that we've been talking about on the podcast for weeks now, and that is the Amazon Fire TV. The Amazon Fire TV, you guys have heard about it. Amazon Fire TV brings all the live and streaming content you love to the biggest screen in your house. You can watch everything you love with access to Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, and so much more. You can even watch YouTube videos and access websites like Reddit and Facebook on the Fire TV. From makeup tutorials to memorizing cake icing videos to the new drama that's all the buzz, whatever you're into, it's on Fire TV. Watching YouTube is all about you, and when it's on the big screen with Fire TV, it's the ultimate mix of entertainment and relaxation. I gotta admit, I watch Mojo a lot. Do you guys watch that YouTube channel?
No, what is that?
It's like a top 10 list, but it's mainly about film, but it also incorporates different aspects of music, pop culture. But
I love
it's
lists.
Like,
I'm into lists.
I watch it for hours on end.
That's great.
But I've been, you know, I've also been watching The Good Place. I've talked about that. That's Ashley's choice. My choice is Barry on HBO. So, you know, as you get engaged, you compromise. But we're watching that with the Amazon Fire TV. And if you have Alexa, all you have to do is say, Alexa, open YouTube. And then you can watch your favorite YouTube channel, like in a nutshell. For me, it's Watch Mojo. You can watch it right on your TV screen. What's better than that? It's better than watching on your laptop, I can tell you that much, or squinting into your phone. If you have an iPhone 7 like myself, I really need to upgrade because every time I watch on the screen, I'm pretty sure I go a little bit more blind. And if that wasn't enough, you can even listen to this podcast right now. You can listen to the music all with the iHeartRadio app on Fire TV. All you have to do is head to amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. Again, that's amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to order a Fire TV of your very own, and they make great gifts for the friends and family during the holiday season, guys. Once again, to get the Fire TV, go to amazon.com/iSuckPodcast.
The other day, I got a text from one of my bestest friends. She lives in Toronto, so she doesn't see me every day, and she was trying to figure out what to buy me for Christmas. And she's like, you travel so much, and I keep seeing your Instagram stories, and I see you like in this really like comfortable, like cozy leggings, and it looks like you're working out, but you're traveling with them. And she's like, what are they? And I'm like, they're Outdoor Voices. So it's this company that I discovered. They are the most comfortable, affordable, cozy, trendy leggings and tops that I can possibly like I love them so much. But it's not only for a workout. You can also travel with them, or if you're doing your holiday shopping, like my friend is in Toronto, shopping right now during the holidays is quite a sport. I don't know about you, Jared, but do you like to wear cozy things when you shop?
Well, of course. I mean, usually I wear jeans, and actually Ashley makes fun of me all the time because I'm the type of guy that will wear jeans anytime I go out, or if I'm on a plane, or traveling anywhere. So I really need to kind of like expand my horizon on sweatpants, because Ashley pretty much doesn't leave the house unless she's wearing sweatpants. But yeah, traveling a lot, I need to get more comfortable. And also, just as a guy's perspective, in terms of the Outdoor Voices leggings that you were talking about, big yes on that one. Thumbs up. Ashley has a pair, and they're very form-fitting, let me say.
They really are. So that's the thing. They have this signature textured compression that hugs and sculpts and supports you while you're hiking or jogging or running through the shopping mall. I'm always in them. I'm always wearing them. They're super comfortable, and they're made with really like this amazing fabric. And they just look amazing. Right now, I'm obsessed with these new leggings that I just got. They're two-tone, like the two-tone, three-tone leggings are really in style. And I especially love, because I feel like I have short legs. If you buy three-quarter length, they make your legs appear longer. So they're the Tech Sweat three-quarter, two-tone leggings. They're the Coyote Atmosphere color. They're like kind of like white and beige, which I think is like really nice for like this time of the year.
Vanessa, you have short legs?
I feel like I have short. I'm 5'3", right? So I feel like if I wear leggings that go all the way down to my ankles, it makes my legs look shorter. But if I wear I'm obsessed with three-quarter length leggings. So these are my new favorite obsession. And they even have like this other tone where it's like blue and black. So Outdoor Voices, I love them. I live in them. I travel with them. I work out in them. They make high quality active apparel that's perfect for gym life or everyday life. They're fashionable. And they're all about integrating fun into everything that they do. So the Outdoor Voices clothing line is engineered for performance and designed for having fun, with a fabric offered for every single type of activity that you do. Like I said, they have the signature textured compression that basically makes you look like you're toned and it's nice and tight and you're sculpted. So even when you're traveling or if you're shopping around or whatever, I mean, it's a great way to meet people when you're doing your groceries and sweats, right?
It's the best. It's the best way. And it does make women look very toned. It's very nice. For a guy, I've gotten a lot of compliment on jogger pants as of late, so I've been expanding my horizon on the whole fashion sense, trying to really upgrade my game on that one. So I got a pair of the bone color Rec Trek jogger, and Ashley loves them. Yeah, I'm a big jogger fan now. Jogger pants, they're in. They're the way to go. And the bone color sounds intense, but they're pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie. And they're comfortable.
And if you're working out, they have the Tech Sweat TM, which is a cool-to-touch material that basically like wicks away sweat and it keeps you dry during high-intensity workouts. So it's great if you're working out. It's great if you're just doing everyday things like shopping or going to the grocery store. So you can get 20% off your first order of $100 or more. All you have to do is visit outdoorvoices.com/help and enter help. That's outdoorvoices.com/HELP. Outdoor Voices believes that harder, faster, stronger is not necessarily always better. So they design gear for doing things like shopping and having fun and lounging around. So you seriously don't want to miss this special offer. Again, it's 20% off your first order of $100 or more when you visit outdoorvoices.com/help and enter help, H-E-L-P. And again, I'm obsessed with these leggings. Tech Sweat three-quarter length, two-tone leggings, Coyote and Atmosphere, white and beige. I think they're sexy, and I think maybe you should get Ashley this for Christmas.
Oh, you think I already haven't? Come on now.
Oh, you're such a good boyfriend.
Well, I'm technically a fiance, but I got you.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm still single.
Joining us in studio is the relationship expert, Susan Trombetti. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. Did I say your last name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Trombetti. Oh, perfect. I was studying all night about it. So, Susan, we were actually just having a discussion, Vanessa and I, about lingerie and role play in the bedroom. I don't know how comfortable you are with talking about that. I don't know if you had
whatever you want to talk about.
Perfect. So what is your advice about that? Do you think couples should do that?
I think to each his own, right? So when I actually do matchmaking as well, so what I say is, you know, I can't get into bed with you. So if you have any questions, and I've heard some really wild questions, you know, feel free to ask me. If I don't know, I'll find out. I'll ask around, right? But yeah, I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat. If you like lingerie for foreplay, I mean.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat. Exactly. Now, you said talk about that. How early in the dating process did you start talking about stuff like that?
Are we talking about my personal life?
No. Just in general.
Well, I think, like, you know, I think you have to be exclusive before you go there, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, you're never going to get into a relationship because, yeah. like, what guy isn't going to be like, yeah, please dress up, play, you know, play like you're a nurse. I mean, they all love nurses, right? Because they're so caring. So if you can get, like, in a little shirt outfit, right? So, but I think you have to be exclusive, and then you can talk about it, right? Whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, perfect. Well, we just wanted to get your two cents on that.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm very... I believe that we're all wired very differently. Some people are more into the exclusive type of relationships. When I was living out in LA, open relationships were a thing. I'm not wired that way. So it was very hard for me to date when I was out in California. So
I'm sorry.
I asked.
Open relationships are a thing in LA?
Yes.
What do you mean?
People don't believe in being exclusive. Like, yeah, we'll date for 5-6 months and we'll still date other people at the same time. And I'm like, nah, either you're with me and me alone, or I'm not sharing you with anyone else. I don't want to have to just, I don't know, especially if you're in that stage in the relationship where you're being intimate with someone. For me, I want to respect my body and I want to be with someone who respects my body as well. So I want to be able to have that conversation of being exclusively exclusive when it comes to intimacy.
All right, let me ask.
Not believe in that.
My makeup artist said the same thing this morning. She was like, do you match people for like open relationships or are you matching them for exclusivity? And, you know, I mean, it's true. I think they are a little bit more open-minded in LA than what they would be, say, in the Midwest. But
well, of course, LA, there's so many, we've said it a million times on the podcast, sparkly things. Like everybody's always looking over your shoulder for the
next best thing.
That describes LA perfectly. Yeah, there are a lot of guys out here that are noncommittal, and I say guys because it's more so guys that are unwilling to commit in a relationship than women, in my opinion, at least, or my experience. So who knows? But Susan, you just also said that you are not only a relationship expert, but you're a matchmaker.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm an upscale matchmaker and celebrity matchmaker.
What does that mean, upscale matchmaker?
So I'm not picking, you have to be able to afford me, quite frankly. You know,
what's your price range?
Personal time. Oh my goodness, 15 all the way up to $250,000.
$15,000 to $250,000?
Yes. And you too could be one of my matches.
Well, what, Vanessa?
So basically what I do is, you know, I recruit for love. So I have the paying client, all right? And then I get into what it is they're really looking for. And I make sure that they are looking for something serious and that they can commit. Because some people, what they say and what they do are two different things. And then the match is free. We recruit in very upscale circles. So if you Google me, you'll get a feel for that.
So hypothetically, if Vanessa was one of your clients, mm-hmm. you would... What would be the first steps?
Oh, I think she's doing well. I mean, I just Googled her and I saw Peter Krause come up.
We already talked about that.
You go, girl. He's an amazing guy.
He's a good looking man.
Yeah.
Anyone listening to this, whatever you see online, not always true. Yeah. I've been on really interesting dates. I'm very optimistic, which is different from the last couple episodes that we recorded. I was like, oh, dating people are done. I had like the worst type of luck. But I wanted to ask you, because I posted this on my account and some of our followers asked, when would it be the right time? Because we're talking about being exclusive. So when would it be the right time to make things official? How early, is it too early on in a relationship? If it's a month or 3 months in, is it 6 months in? Should the guy still ask the woman, do you want to be my girlfriend? So how do you have that exclusive talk? And when is it the right time to have it?
So I feel like men are in a position of power with this exclusivity thing, right? And the woman a lot of times is asking. However, okay, a lot of times a man, when he has a good thing, tries to lock it down and he's not necessarily sincere. So what I say is, for it takes 90 days for you to really know the real person. So it's okay to say, okay, I'm dating you. I'm only dating you. But I want to wait to see how this pans out, because you don't see the real person for 90 days, your first fight, make it or break it, you know? And that's when the first time you will see the real person. And I've had so many people come to me and I say, you know, don't lock it down. And they lock it down in like 30 days. Oh yeah, we're exclusive. I like them. And guess what? I mean, I was just on Dr. Oz not too long ago with a lady, and he was in an accident like around day 60, and the nurse coming in taking care of him, he was in the accident with her the night before, cheating with the lady coming to me. And yeah, so I mean, I see that a lot. I don't know.
I guess I'm a little confused, though, because you say if a guy is trying to lock it down too early, he might be insincere as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know anybody till day 90.
You don't really see the real person.
So yeah. Are you saying that people should not be committal, like commit to another person until after they know them for 3 months?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. So I'm saying it takes 3 months, make it or break it, first fight, right?
Here's my question.
Sure, go
for
it.
In the first 3 months, if you are not committed to one person, does that restrict you from going on dates with other people? Because here's the question. Here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. Is that if you don't know somebody in the first 90 days, so what you're saying is don't commit to them because it's too soon. My question would be, well, does that prevent you from going on dates with other people?
Because not at all.
So are you giving that relationship in the first 90 days a fair chance if you're shopping it around?
If it's... Yeah. I mean, I think you are giving it a chance. You're making that person prove themselves both ways. And you really don't need to keep going out with other people. If you're feeling it, you could tell them, hey, I'm feeling this relationship. I'm liking you. I just want to give it some time to make sure this is what I think it is. Because they need to prove it to you, right?
Fair, but I feel like guys use that as an excuse all the time. Like a lot of guys, I feel like, will tell women, be like, I just want to take it slow. I'm not sure, but I'm into you. And I think we've had a lot of girls reach out to this podcast saying, like, what do I do? We've been dating for 2 months. He says he really likes me, but he refuses to commit in a relationship with me. Is he just stringing me along, or is he serious about this? And a lot of times, I think both Vanessa and I are in agreement that the guys are probably just stringing them along if they're refusing to commit, specifically after, like, you know, knowing these people for more than a month. Vanessa, what are your thoughts about it?
I think that every relationship is different. And if you have two people that are open in communicating their thoughts and how they're processing the relationship, whatever works for the both of you works for the both of you. I don't think there are any set rules in, you know, taking that much time. It takes years to really get to know a person. We're changing every day. After you get married, you change. Like, you don't really know the person because the person that you're, your significant other, is changing every day. And so I think if you're in a committed relationship where you're honest about where you stand emotionally, then whatever rules you guys apply into your relationship is whatever rules you apply to you guys and might not apply to another relationship. Like, I know someone right now that is openly dating other people, and she and her significant other are honest about when they're going on other dates, and they've been together or they've known each other for a couple of months. I can't relate to that. I'm not wired that way, but it works for them. And so I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to communicating whether or not you're ready to seriously commit to someone. And I think it has a lot to do with age. I'm 31 right now, and I've had conversations with people that I've gone on dates with where they're not in the right mind state to seriously date someone. And I do appreciate that honesty. And I'm like, Ariana Grande, thank you, next. Or they are in a state where they want to find someone. And, you know, I keep hearing the sentence, when you know, you know. And I want to be able to be in, Jared, right? When you know, like, you can't really...
No,
but
I would
in expressing why it is that person. You just know it in your gut that that's the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
I have mixed feelings about that statement. And this is coming from someone who's engaged and madly in love. And I will spend the rest of my life with Ashley. But I'm not sure if you know, you know.
Think of all the times you thought you knew when you knew and you were wrong. I think that's like a false sense of chemistry, right? And that's what I think. Although I know that I'm guilty. Like, I tell all my clients to keep an open mind. But, you know, I like tall, dark, and handsome. And that's exactly what I fell for, and I married, right? And still madly in love. But I think that there is a sense of, like, you know when you know, but you wait to see if it pans out, which goes back to what I was saying, like, these guys don't want to commit. Actions speak louder than words. You both speak. You both think you're on the same page, right? And but you got to wait to see if the actions line up, because a player is kind of like a con artist in a way, right? His actions aren't going to line up. And so you're just kind of keeping it real for a while to make sure that they are who they say they are, because it's next on Tinder, right?
Do you think that's asking a lot of people, though? That's my only question. Is
no,
that...
not when you get brokenhearted left and right, and, you know, like, you just keep getting played by the player, you know?
I feel like
by the player.
Totally, of course, right? There's players on both sides, both men and women, and it's dating is a very difficult world to navigate through today. I just feel that, for example, Vanessa, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If a guy came up to you and you guys went on a few dates and the chemistry was there and it was really good and you liked this guy and he said, I really like you too, I want to work towards a relationship, I cannot commit to you right now because I want to wait to see how it pans out. Like, this guy would want to wait. He would, for example, you guys were only at 3 or 4 dates in, and he was like, I don't want to commit to you right now. I want to give it, maybe another month, couple months, really get to know each other more and figure out if this is a lifetime.
Look, she's saying no. Thing. You got to say yes.
See, this is...
Yes. It's only 3 or 4 dates. For all you know, he's like the serial killer. So I'm just saying, you got to wait to see, and that'll open up your world. But now, if he's acting like he doesn't want to commit, I'm not saying you really have to date someone else. I'm saying if you want to, go for it. You can say, you're the only person I'm seeing right now, but I want to wait before I jump in. You know, that's what I think. Because 3 or 4 dates, you don't know what you don't know. You probably run off screaming down the alley with most of these guys, right? So,
since you're a relationship investigator, and I want to
dug that one up. Yeah.
I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, line techniques, tracking a cheater and all that. I want to know, since I think we all come into new relationships with insecurities because of things that we had to deal with in past relationships. I don't think I've ever been cheated on. So I don't have an insecurity when it comes to finding someone that is loyal, because I haven't been through that. Liars, on the other hand. Yeah, I've dated liars. So how can we track a liar? How can we detect when that red flag is there and we should start waving that white one and run? So what are signs we should look for?
Okay, because that's your 90 days. You watch. You don't necessarily know, right? They're not going to look you straight in the eye, first of all. And that's, like, your number one thing when they're lying. They might, you know, there might be certain things that they do. They cover their mouth. They shake their head no as they're telling you something, right? Because it's not the truth. So there's certain giveaways. I'm not a body language expert, but, I mean, you could read into that. But what I have found is, A, in your gut, do you believe it to be true? All right? Trust your gut. So many people don't trust their gut. And then you just wait and you listen. And, you know, they're going to tell you whatever it is they told you. Okay, 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. Is it consistent? The truth is consistent. A lie is not consistent. It'll be a different story every time. It'll be just something very vague, or they might get angry. You know, suppose you catch someone in a lie and you confront them and they get very angry and they blame you, like, okay, cheating. I'm not cheating on you. You must be crazy. You must be cheating on me. So, you know, they kind of pass it back on you and project on you.
Crazy is a word that men should not use on females, because I find, like, that's just them projecting their, like, either their insecurity or projecting, like, whatever's going on internally with them onto the woman. Like, you're crazy for thinking this, or you're crazy for putting these puzzles together that aren't true. And so I really do agree with the whole intuition thing. I feel like I'm a very intuitive person, and it gets me so frustrated because I talk about self-sabotaging relationships, and I have a tendency to do that early on. But I think it's because if I really dissect, I self-sabotage because I know this person isn't right for me. So I'm stuck between my intuition telling me run and also my hard head saying, tough it out, give it a shot and see how far you can take this. And so I end up going with what my hard head is telling me to do and to keep trying to make things work in the relationship. And at the end of the day, it doesn't end up working out. And my intuition was always right. And so now I'm in a position where I'm very self-aware of the things that I know I have a tendency of doing, like self-sabotaging, and understanding why that's there. But because I'm so black and white, for me, as soon as there's one thing that's inconsistent in someone, I'm like, done. I don't want to deal with you. Like, I'm coming with such a clean slate. There's really no skeletons in my closet. My romantic love life is literally up on the internet. You can search whatever you want to search. There's no reason for me to lie about anything. And so in my position, sometimes it's hard to date someone and to really get to know their authentic self. And I guess that's where the 90 days come in. But because I'm such a hopeless romantic, I'm like, no, I want to get to know you in like one date. I want to know all about you. And so being patient when it comes to relationships is something I know I need to work on.
Right. And apparently you already know that you self-sabotage. So if you know why you do that, and I mean, I think that's the right approach, just to sit back. And you said one key thing, inconsistent. When somebody presents you with something that's inconsistent, they're not going to tell you everything on the first date. And you shouldn't know anything like that on a first date. You should just be flirting and smiling at each other and taking it slow. Those are the best relationships that unfold. And I mean, you just know. When I met my husband, I knew my husband was sincere. End of story, right? And there is that sense of intuition. And the more you date, I think the more you get it.
I guess my question, I'm confused. So when you said you met your husband, you knew he was sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Did you commit to him quickly?
No.
So even though you knew he was sincere.
Right. I would.
You were like, I'm still going to wait on this.
Yeah.
Well, what is the thing to wait? Were you dating other people, or you just weren't giving 100% of yourself just yet?
Well, I was just waiting to see. No, I don't think I was dating other people. I didn't really have time. But, you know, you just wait to see that everything is as... See, first of all, you got to know what it is you're looking for. And so if I tell you what I'm... You know, how many guys you say, I want a commitment, or you're in this relationship already, and, you know, you're kind of giving them an ultimatum, and they say no, okay? And then you walk, and they say, yes, yes, right? And... I will come back. And then they don't. Right. So that's what you got to do. You got to wait. You want this, whatever it is you want, you know, you wait to see, are they really going to back it up and give it to me? Cause anybody's going to say, because they want what they want, right? Everybody has needs, right? They want to get their needs met, whatever that may be. And as long as their needs are getting met and your needs are getting met, then I think it's okay to go forward. But sometimes if you're in the beginning and you realize you're not getting your needs met, even though they said that they would or acted like they want it to, right? Then you have to walk. But you have to wait to see. That's not something you're going to really know on the first date. Oh, sure, they're all going to say, listen, I have clients. They slipped in there. You know, they say they want to get married and, you know, they want a professional woman. That's great. But at the end of the day, you know, the women that they really are attracted to are something else. And I just have to say, I'm sorry. You know, you really aren't after what you say you're after. And until you get that straight, I can't help you. Right. And there's a lot of people that have that confusion.
I think coming off of a show like The Bachelor, where everything is so fast paced, you get to meet someone, you spend very little time with them, and then all of a sudden you're engaged to them and you're basically starting from square, you know, from square one all over again after basically doing the biggest step in getting engaged. And I think for me, it worked because I'm someone that goes against everything you're saying, Susan. I am someone that is fast-paced when it comes to relationships. I know what I want. I know what I'm looking for. And let's try this out. Let's go all in, or let's not. And so I'm either dating someone, seriously dating someone, or I'm really single. Like I'm nowhere in between. And I've gotten a little bit better. I spoke about this. I was dating someone recently in the summer, and he was someone that was not committal. And I went with the flow, and I felt really good to step outside of my comfort zone. But at the end of the day, I realized this is not me. And this is the last time I give my heart up to someone that isn't deserving of it.
But he said so in the beginning, right?
Honestly, his actions were very different. And that's where actions speak louder than words. He wanted to have babies. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're preaching to the choir. Like, the only thing I ever want in life is kids. But I knew deep down that he was saying these things to, you know, make me like him more or whatever the case is. So I was aware of that. And I knew deep down he wasn't someone I was going to seriously date. But it was still like, it was a nice trend. It was a nice change instead of like seriously dating someone and going in really quickly. So tracking a cheater, I'm sure everyone that's listening to this is like, ooh, I want to know how can I track a cheater? So how do we track one?
Before we get into that, I just want to ask one thing. Because we talk so much about dating and relationships and waiting or committing and the do's and the don'ts and trust your instinct, but also, you know, think with your head, not your heart. Do you think that sometimes we just psych ourselves out?
No, not at all. I mean,
no?
I think that's just like when you're leading with your heart and projecting, I want this, that's when I think you psych yourself out. I mean, if you take an approach, this is what I need, this is what I want, and you know where you're going, you're going to get it. It's like any goal, right? It's going to happen.
Do you think sometimes we overthink things and maybe are in our own head too much of like, okay, well, we have to make them wait, or no, we should commit now, or like almost looking for something that's not there, whether that be good or bad. Because like, you know, sometimes I get concerned, like even like tracking a liar. It's like, well, you know, body language, hand over mouth. Like if I put my hand over my mouth now, next time I'm talking to somebody, are they going to be like, ah, liar?
No.
Sometimes I get concerned about that because we do live in such a transparent world, in a modern world where everything is online and we have instant gratification for knowledge or likes on Instagram or what have you. And sometimes I think, are we just overthinking things? I don't know.
Probably in a lot of ways, like you self-sabotage, you probably overthink your relationships. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm sure we do overthink things, but you're not overthinking it to know what it is you want out of a relationship, such as I want to get married, I want to have kids, or I don't want to get married, but I want to have kids. And this is the person I want to be with for the rest of my life. That's, you know, knowing what you want and overthinking things, I think, are two different things. As a matter of fact, I think you do need to put a lot of thought into that. When I talk to a client, sometimes it takes, like, believe it or not, 3 to 4 hours to get down to what you really want, and they thought they knew. And a lot of times that's why you're not really finding it. You spend all this time, you're right, overanalyzing everything with your girlfriends, and, you know, guys don't, you know, traditionally talk too much about what they want, right? Except on, you know, these podcasts. But anyway, yeah, you do. You spend so much time that you lose the real point of what is it I'm looking for? What's going to make me happy? What is superficial? And what is it I really need to make me happy?
Do you believe in soulmates? Vanessa, do you believe in soulmate?
I believe that there are a number of people that are really great matches for us. I don't believe there's one specific person that you're meant to be with, because there's a whole ton of people in this world. And because I live in one part of in a country now, does that really mean that the love of my life is in my country? Like, nah, I think that's kind of crazy to think that. For me, at least, I believe that in every stage in your life, there is someone that comes into it, and you could either be with them or not. I do think that when I was younger, in my early 20s, I fell really hard and in love with one specific person. However, the timing of things, not great. He did not want to have kids. I wanted to have kids. There are a number of people that we're meant to be with.
Susan?
I agree. There's the right person for the right time in your life. It isn't just one person. And that's another, I think that's an example of overthinking things. You know, you're looking for your soulmate. Oh my God, is this one person out of all these billions of people? No, it could be any number of, and some are a better fit than others.
I know. And that's where I sometimes get into the overthinking part, because I think some people do look for that one person that they're supposed to spend the rest of their life with, when in actuality, it might be multiple people. And for example, if you're in a relationship with somebody that you truly love, but something is wrong and there's something that you guys are not on the same page about, where's the line? Like, what line is that? Is it marriage? Is it kids? Is it financial? Is it where you want to live in the world? Is
kids,
it family?
Marriage.
Like, but here's the thing, like, how, for example, Vanessa can speak to this a little bit. You come off The Bachelor, you're engaged, you're madly in love with someone, and then you get back into the real world and you're like, wow, we have a lot of differences, though, but we're in love. Yes. So how hard should we fight for this relationship? And I wanted to get your thoughts, both your thoughts on that.
Well, can I talk now? I'll just give you my thoughts, because I actually gave media comments about your breakup. So anyway.
What did you say?
Oh,
So it kind of ties in with what I'm saying here. So I think it was to Elite Daily, and they asked me what I thought about the breakup. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, I love The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And yeah, I really do. Yeah, so I did something like with one of the former bachelors at my dating boot camp. So I watch it. After that, I started watching it all the time. And I really love it because, A, you get to see a lot of dating mistakes if you watch it that people make. But back to you, it ties in with what I'm saying. It's a fake world. It's the same thing as like you have a couple of dates. That's a fake world. You have these couple of great dates, right? And anyway, when you get out in the real world, then that's when you're starting to see the real person and you're kind of like suddenly starting to date really in the real world. And so when it comes down to, you know, all of this, I just think that, you know, dating is tough. It's hard, you know, and everybody, I call it less authenticity in dating. Everybody's going next, 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 right? And it's just a crazy world.
Well, I guess, Vanessa, my question to you is how important is love? Because I'm sure you could probably say, I'm assuming you left the show in love with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously didn't work out. You don't have to speak into details, but it's interesting as an overall scope of like, well, what's the most important thing? Is it, well, are we on the same page about kids? Are we on the same page about where we're going to live? Not just with your relationship with Nick, but just for everybody out there. Like, you know, in the ranking, where does love rank? Is it number one? Is it the most important thing over everything?
I think compatibility equals strong love. And Nick and I were in love with each other. Once we got engaged, I think there was a moment of realizing like, we are so different. We didn't get a chance to realize this while we're filming because you're living in the moment. It's kind of like long distance relationships where it's always a high because whenever you see each other, it's been so long. And I mean, listen, I love long distance relationships, but of course, like it takes a longer period of time to really get to know a person if you're seeing them once a month or whatever. And for us, like we did love each other and we realized how different we were. And we took the steps we needed to. We communicated about it. We went to couples therapy. And then we start to realize there's certain things that we're not willing to compromise on, which were our core values, which made up who we were, which also spoke volumes on how we weren't going to be able to be as happy and as authentically ourselves in the relationship in order to move forward. And it was so hard making that decision. The number of panic attacks that I had, I remember like once we were lying down in bed and he went to the gym and I woke up and he wasn't in the bed next to me. And I woke up like hysterically crying. I'm like, where are you? And I knew that it was like the beginning stages of the relationship making its way to an end. And so it was a process that we had to take together and realize that it was something that we both wanted. And I think it was so beautiful at the end when we finally like looked at each other and said, like, we love each other, but it's not going to work. And so oftentimes when people do break up, it's one person who wants out and the other person is stuck in the bargaining phase of a breakup and wanting to get them back without realizing like, if one person wants out, ultimately, you're not really meant to be together, right?
Yeah, it really doesn't take
two. Is it unfair for somebody in a relationship to have second guessing?
Everybody has second guessing, I think. That's just a matter of psychology.
Well, like say you're in a relationship with someone and they're like, I'm thinking about breaking up because I don't know if it's working. Does that define somebody as being out of the relationship, or is it possibly maybe they're having doubts?
Yeah, no, doubting is fine. But I think if someone has made their decision and saying, I don't want to be with you anymore, to me, that's the ultimate insult. And I should be the queen of getting my heart broken because I literally will cry my eyes out if a guy like ends something after a week and I'm like, why? But that's just because my ego's bruised, right?
Of course.
So at the end of the day, I think it's if someone doesn't want to be with you, then that's not someone that's going to stick by you through harder times in life. And that's not someone that you should want to picture a future with.
Yeah, relationships don't really take that much work. I mean, you hear people go, oh my God, it's work, but we do it every day. No, relationships take commitment. When it's that much work, you know, it's not going to work.
No, true. And you're right. Like, there is, it is okay for someone to doubt something, but not okay for someone to completely say, I'm out of the relationship. But you know one thing, Vanessa and Susan, that you don't have to doubt or guess on? That's 23andMe.
Oh!
I know. It's your favorite, Vanessa. It is your absolute favorite. So we've talked about 23andMe many times on the podcast. So 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90 personalized genetic reports that offers DNA insights on what makes you unique. Vanessa, have you ever done 23andMe?
I have, and it's actually really simple because I spoke about it. We always talk about it on the podcast. I spoke about it with my friends. This guy that I actually recently went on a date with, he came by, and I know, Susan, you talk about, like, being safe when it comes to dating and stuff like that, and I was reading some of your notes. I was like, oopsie, he came to my house way too early. But he's like, oh, I did a 23andMe testing, and he saw that he had, like, he started questioning his mom about their background and their history and stuff, because he's Eastern European, and he found some, like, crazy stuff in there. And it's really simple. All you have to do is spit into a tube. Like, literally, that's all you have to do. You spit into a tube that the 23andMe kit provides. You register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and then in a few weeks you receive a personalized online report. And you can get so much information on this. You can learn how basically your genes play a role in your well-being and your lifestyle choices, like your muscle composition. And I actually wanted to, I'm waiting for my result test to come in, but I actually have, like, really good muscle memory compared to everyone else in my family. And I want my family members to do this too, so we can compare our results. So anyway, studies have found that almost all elite power athletes have a specific genetic variant in a gene related to muscle composition. And I want to know if I have that gene. And you might find that version of that gene if you end up doing the test, and that's what I'm waiting to see.
And the cool thing about 23andMe right now is that through December 25th, the DNA 23andMe kit is on sale. It makes for the perfect holiday gift all year, especially this time of year, obviously. And now, like I said, through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. You can order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/Dean. That's D-E-A-N. That's the number 23andMe.com/Dean. Check it out. 30% off now through December 25th. You can get it as a family gift. I know a lot of people are looking to find out more about their heritage, more about their background. It's a really cool gift. I'm excited to get my results back. I believe I'm like about 10% Native American, so I'm curious to see how accurate that is.
Right. Like, is your life a lie, or are you accurate?
I mean, my life's always been a lie. Now I'm just figuring out how much of a lie it really is. And Susan, I wanted to get back to a question that Vanessa had for you after I speak upon the legacy box, which is something that we can never forget about this podcast. Because how many times have we mentioned the legacy box?
The legacy continues.
The legacy will forever continue. So I've always been someone who I might not like going Christmas shopping for the family and friends. Like, I like shopping online.
Right. Especially living in LA. I don't know. What's Canada like?
Oh, no. Are you kidding me, girl? Canada right now, I'm looking outside. There's a snowstorm. So I don't want to
get out of the shopping. She's inside.
Yeah.
How much snow do you have there?
Well, it just started snowing today, and it's, like, really thick snowflakes. So, and it's been, like, yesterday was, like, minus 20 degrees. So I've been hibernating, and I've been doing a lot of online shopping. Hey, legacy box.
I miss the snow so much. God, I can't wait to go back east. I miss snow, but I certainly don't miss crowds. And anytime I go to a mall back home or even in LA, it's crazy this time of year. But with the legacy box, you can skip all of that. All you have to do is send your legacy box filled with all your home videos and pictures, and then they'll do the rest for you. They help in professionally digitalizing your moments on a thumb drive, digital download, or a DVD.
This is actually a great gift for my grandparents, because my grandparents, they don't have social media and stuff, and, like, you know, they don't want to start rumbling, like, going through old boxes and things like that. And they always say, like, oh, you guys never send me pictures, or there's never any videos, and I never really know what's going on in your life, and I don't have social media to keep myself updated. So anyways, this is actually a great idea. I'm getting a couple of pictures printed for them, and I'm getting them the legacy box, so they can not make me feel guilty about having a social media account and that they don't have it. So this is actually a great idea for the holidays. It's really easy to follow. The instructions are super simple. And they have safety barcodes that are included for every item. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. And I mean, this was something that I thought about too. I'm like, there's a lot of personal things that I'd be putting out there. But it's super secure. It's really safe. And it's done by hand right in the USA. So there's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, get this, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. And who doesn't love exclusive discounts, especially around this time of the year? Go to legacybox.com/Dean. It's always Dean, D-E-A-N, to get 40% off your first order. So go to legacybox.com/Dean to get 40% off your first order and get started preserving memories from your past. I mean, it's such a great idea, especially for this, for the holidays.
Well, the code is always Dean because it's short, simple, easy to spell. And also, they're not going to have slash Vanessa. That's very long. And they won't have slash Jared because I'm 5 letters. Dean is 4 letters. It just completely makes sense. And I've talked about it on the podcast before about I have a home video at my house that's like an hour and a half long from my ages like 4 to 6. My dad with his VHS video camera. God, I miss those days. I wish I grew up in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid. I always have been, always will be. But this home video is everything to me. And I'm always nervous that it's going to get destroyed because it's on an old VHS player. And every time we put it in to the old, you know, VHS DVD thing, I don't even know what a VHS player, I guess we'd call it.
Yes. God, I'm
VCR.
A VCR.
A VCR. Thank you. Holy moly. It's been a little while since I've used one of those. But I'm always concerned that the tapes are going to get destroyed in the VCR because it hasn't been used in so long. And legitimately, the only time we use the VCR. See, it's been so long since I've used it, I don't even know how to say the letters properly.
Well, also, can I just say, with the rain, there was somebody in iHeart where she had like her cameras and all her like USB stuff all saved on in a box in her garage, and then it all got ruined. It was like all these pictures and photo albums. So it's like even in our generation, like we keep things like safe and sound, but you just never know what happens. So just getting it all digitized, that is a tough word.
It's a very difficult one.
It's so smart. Like it doesn't have to be just VCR. Like doing it now is so crucial too.
Yeah.
Keep those things in a USB. Put them in a nice little shelf. Nobody sees them. Not cluttery.
Yeah, they won't get damaged by the rain or the VCR.
Nailed it.
Susan, I wanted to get back to a question that Vanessa asked you earlier before we started getting into all this, which is how to track a cheater.
Okay, is this somebody that's actually cheating? or just somebody that, you know, is a player? So here's the thing, okay? What the relationship investigator title you're talking about is, so I have a background in liquidating fraudulent portfolios. So it's really easy, you know, like these are people that steal identities, like to figure out a con artist. And so for a lot of my celebrity clients, I check out these people that come into their life. And I also use that expertise for all my matches and do my own background checks. So I can really tell. So when you track somebody that's lying, I mean, when you're in a relationship and they're cheating, I mean, first of all, do they take their cell phone to the bathroom with them constantly? Is it like locked down like Fort Knox, right? Going in the shower with them. And they're like, you're crazy. I just need my phone with me all the time. I'm just used to it, right? Mm-hmm. So that is like a big sign. You know, they're obviously talking on their phone to someone and you just don't know who it is, and they're not really open. So when you're in a relationship, I mean, the other person, you know, this is like an open book, right? So you know everything, but suddenly you don't feel that you know everything. You feel crazy, okay? So you might not be that person that checks up on them constantly and looking through their cell phone and looking at text messages or checking their calendar, but suddenly you're snooping, right? Because they are inciting that in you. If you are not a jealous individual and you're feeling that, you're picking up. You're going to say something.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you something. So I totally agree. Your intuition kicks in. You're like, I don't know. I feel like something is up. But sometimes, like, you might be in that mode where you get super insecure. So you always feel like something is up. So you have to determine whether it's you going like, oh, my God, like you're too much in your head. So if you're dating someone, and you're over at their house and they happen to leave the house. Do you, and I think I may have asked you this last time, should you encourage people to kind of snoop around just to see what the person is up to? Like,
Vanessa, you're smirking as if you have had personal experience with this.
Of course I've done this. I've done this 100%. I haven't like gone like real deep into drawers and stuff, but if there's something laying out, I just want to like, oh, what's this? Like, oh, I just want to connect the dots sometimes, you know? Is that not encouraged?
It's not encouraged. You shouldn't do that, right? It's okay. I mean, don't like beat yourself up if you do. I mean, a lot of people do this, but what I'm saying is that crazy sense of snooping, that usually means something's up. And I'm going to tell you something. 100% of the people that have ever thought something was up, you know, were right.
100%.
Absolutely. Okay. You know, a crazy person, when they come to you, you know, they think everybody's cheating on whatever, like a jealous person, you know that. No, 100%. And I'm going to take that a little step further with my background.
Like, all right. No. I was going to say, so somebody like,
they're who never is, wrong. They're never wrong.
Yeah, but what if a crazy jealous person every day is like, they're cheating on me?
That's different. Like, that is like, that's what I'm saying. That's the exception. And everybody knows somebody like that, right? I mean, that's an abusive person, really. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like if you have that in a guy and he's always like, oh, you were 5 minutes late. Where were you? What? I mean, they're crazy. They're abusive. I've seen women like that with guys, whatever, you know, that's on the side, right? That doesn't count. But people that think they're being cheated on, you're dating someone, you're married, you're in a long-term relationship, whatever, you suddenly, everything has been great. And you suddenly think they're cheating on you. And it's not just like this fleeting thought. Anyway, the bottom line is you're right. And not only are you right, a lot of times you know the person they're cheating with if you had to search. And like I said, I'm going to take this back. If you had like a relationship fraud, like somebody stole from you, like committed identity fraud against you, and it's relationship, not being like just some random fraud ring stealing a bunch of identities, but like if somebody you knew that you came into contact with, and it doesn't mean you know them personally, it could be somebody you work with that stole your identity, you know, that's been my background. If it's a relationship fraud, you always know. I shouldn't say 100% of the time, but I've had numerous people who know. But let me tell you about cheating. Like, I remember this lady coming to me and she said, I think my husband's cheating on me. And I think he's living someplace with this woman. He set up another residence. And I said, well, why do you think that? And she said, I found this toll ticket way back when. And so anyway, the bottom line was, I said, well, who do you think he's cheating with? And she knew. And a lot of people know that. You know in your heart of hearts. And if you've come across that person, met that person, you kind of can connect the dots, which isn't the same as jealousy. You just kind of know because you're connected, right? Mm-hmm. Call it some sort of cosmic connection. Yeah. But I really don't even know that it's cosmic. You're just so, you know, bonded that you know when something's off. And you also know, like, I don't know, maybe it was unconscious. You picked up on something with the other person that when you met them.
Yeah. So, Susan, I want you to talk a little bit about your matchmaking as well. Mm-hmm. So you offer a service. You say you're a celebrity matchmaker. Mm-hmm. You can't disclose any celebrity that you've worked with, though, can you?
Let me see. No, but, well, I guess I can. I have confidentiality, you know, agreements. But so my contract automatically gives confidentiality. I did fix up Sarah Silverman in September for her show, so I could say that.
So this was aired?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good.
For I Love America. But it wasn't it was an authentic match. But, you know, I heard later she said on Howard Stern, I think that she was never going to marry him because he wasn't Jewish. But, you know, that's not how I delivered what they asked me to deliver, which, you know, I'm not a magician, but I got as close as I could. She on her show examines, you know, other people's values. Mm-hmm. So that's what she was doing. And it was a great match.
What's she like in person?
Oh, my God, she's lovely.
Yeah, I love Sarah Silverman.
She is lovely. I mean, she's smart. She's funny. I mean, she's really a great package, and she's filthy dirty.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
You know? So, like, she said some really crazy things, and, you know, I just thought it was hilarious.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear she's really cool.
Yeah,
I was hoping.
She's lovely.
Well, Susan, people might be wondering this. Can people come to you and pay you just for the line detection or the tracking of cheaters?
Yes. So you can go to exclusivematchmaking.net. I do a service called Investigate Your Date. I'll check them out. I'm not a private investigator, you know, so I'm not out there. That's what a private investigator does. They get footage. But I can tell you a lot more things. Like, for example, like, listen, you can if you're in a relationship with somebody, you're living together, you can get their text messages, right? You can set your phone settings, like their face, and you can find out a lot. Like, there's all sorts of like little tricks. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know what you know. I mean, I go back to that like gut instinct. But yeah, if you want to that's all it is, confirmation. You want the photos, all right? But a lot of times dating today, you know, I'll have people come to me and they'll be like, it's really a scam. I think financial scams run rampant on online dating. That's like the biggest scam. And like they might come to me and say, well, you know, I'm dating this woman. Don't ask me why they keep dating her, you know, but I know she has a different name. I think she's married, but she's getting money from me. I've given her hundreds of thousands of dollars and she's now blocked me on all social media. And these are like really incredible men, right? And she's telling me she's in a village, you know, with her grandmother, you know, in South America. But I think she's right here with her husband. You probably find her in a restaurant. So, you know, it's not like I'm out there. I would hire a private investigator to get the photos. Don't ask me why anybody would get in that deep. But at that point, I think they were like totally tricked and sucked in. And, you know, there's a beautiful woman, you know, a man grasping at her and what he thought she really was, but she's really just a con artist. You got to look out. There's
That's
a lot
pretty
of them.
Intense. Holy
yeah.
crap.
But yeah. Most of it's just like, is he married? Is she married? Like, you know, dig up their past. That's the kind of stuff I do. So I like to call myself really like a matchmaker to the rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
But we are rolling out a new service for, you know, young professionals. That's a big demographic, you know, they're really frustrated with these dating apps. I mean, and like I said, it's, you know, it's next. Is there ever really a connection? I mean, I do know people that have met and married, but, you know, people don't take a good hard look at the person in front of them and they're ruling them out for all the wrong reasons.
Well, Susan, where else can the people find you?
ExclusiveMatchmaking.net. You can reach out on Twitter at exclusive_match. I love to tweet about The Bachelor. And The Bachelorette franchise.
Are you a live tweeter? Do you tweet
live
during the show?
Yes, I do.
Well, that is a true fan there.
I just started doing that after I met one of the Bachelors. They just like really enjoyed Bachelor Nation. Well, I had Chris Soules in for my dating boot camp. And, you know, he was lovely, wonderful. And, you know, he was great. And I just loved meeting a lot of the folks.
Totally. Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, Susan Trimbretti, thank you so much for coming in. You are incredible, and we'd love to have you back anytime.
I'd love to come back.
Perfect. Well, you'll be back.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Vanessa, I'm having a mini panic attack because I just realized that 2 weeks from today is Christmas, but I haven't done any of my shopping, which is a real issue. But what I look forward to at Christmas is obviously the holiday parties where the family gets together. Nobody drives. Everybody, you know, takes Ubers. We get a little sloshed. It's a good time. Vanessa, are you hosting a Christmas party this year?
I am. So I've basically been living in my new place since I've been back home. So like since May, and no one has really been here. And my parents are divorced, so I have to split my time equally during the holidays. And I kind of want to have everyone get together either on the 23rd or the 24th. And so we all have like, luckily, there's not many people like in LA who are like gluten intolerant or have like all these allergies and stuff. But that's a great thing about Thrive Market. There's so many great snacks and things that you can get for people who do have those allergies. Like I have a friend who's allergic to peanuts and gluten and eggs and whatever. And so I pulled up the Thrive Market website and we went through like a bunch of items that I know I can get for her that she can specifically buy and eat and enjoy. Like my sister is obsessed to another level. At one point, I accidentally bought the wrong box. But you know the Simple Mills crunchy chocolate chip cookies? Mm. They're, I think they're gluten-free and they're like super healthy. And yeah, so they're like gluten-free and she's obsessed with those. So I got a few boxes for her. So when she does come over for the holidays, she can feast off of that. I don't know if there's any specific items that you love off of Thrive Market, but there's this honey, organic honey that I put in my, I've been sick for like the last 2 weeks. So this is, I forgot what the name is, but it's an organic honey company that I bought off of Thrive Market that I put in my tea every morning.
Am I excited about Thrive Market? Have you met me? I'm currently standing up in studio with a box of Thrive Market right next to me, pulling out items. For example, the almond butter creamy. I love peanut butter, but
yeah, I have that. I have that in the morning and I put my honey and I drizzle honey over on top of that on my toast every morning.
It's my favorite. I love peanut butter, but I love the almond butter better. One, because it's healthier, and two, it tastes exactly the same. I also love the garlic aioli mayo because it's made with real avocado oil. I don't know what that means, but it tastes fantastic, and it's healthier for me, so I'm all about it. I also like snacks. We got the cheddar snack mix right here. We have ranch dressing with avocado oil. So pretty much everything's made with avocado oil to make it healthier, but it tastes exactly the same. And Thrive is so cool. It's so awesome. It's an online marketplace, and it makes healthy living easy and affordable, which is perfect because I'm very cheap. It's like Whole Foods, but just way better because it gets delivered to your door, which is pretty cool. You can shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products. Like we said, I love the almond butter. That's absolutely my favorite. It's non-GMO, it's organic, and it's creamy, which makes it even more fantastic. On top of Thrive Market prices being up to 50% off, they're also giving us, our listeners, an extra 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. So all you have to do is go to thrivemarket.com/Dean. Everything is Dean, but like we talked about, it's very simple. That's D-E-A-N. There's no code necessary. Like we said, all you have to do is go to thrivemarket.com/Dean, and the discount will automatically be applied to the checkout. I love Thrive Market. It's delivered to our door pretty much every 2 weeks, I'd say. I get a new box of Thrive Market. It makes it way easier than going to the grocery store because Whole Foods, I'm there for like an hour and a half. It's very expensive between parking, driving there, coming home, unloading the groceries, and then cooking it all myself. It's exhausting. That's why Thrive is really awesome because it's not just food as well. They have a lot of beauty products on there. They have household cleaners.
I'm on their website right now, and I'm looking at some of their makeup line. They have like, you know, Jessica Alba's line, the Honest Company. They have like a bunch of products from the Honest Company, which I love. It's really like their body washes and stuff like that, their hand soap. They have fragrances. They have a section for men's skincare too, nails, lip care. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's even things for babies and kids, which a lot of my friends are popping out babies like a lot nowadays. And I'm like, I have baby fever, but I got to put myself a man first. They have stuff for the home, stuff for your pets. They even have a holiday section.
So Vanessa, this works out perfectly for you because for your holiday party, you can not only shop for the food that you're going to cook for everybody, but you can also shop for the household products that you're going to clean your house with before everybody comes over.
Yes, you know it. Yeah. And they have like organic non-GMO products. I'm online now and I'm looking, there's an organic kimono white robe, which looks super cozy and it's 22% off. So I'm just looking on their website. There's so many discounts. And there's just so many different products. I mean, you literally can do your groceries. You can buy Christmas gifts on this thing. Thrive Market is just like my new obsession.
It is truly an online market. It's an online grocery store, which is really cool because everybody needs to go to a grocery store, including myself. And it's annoying and I hate it. But now Thrive makes it a lot easier and they're a lot cheaper. Like we said, their prices are already usually about 50% off compared to other market prices. And now they're giving you guys an extra 25% off and for your 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. Once again, all you have to do is go to thrivemarket.com/Dean. That's thrivemarket.com/DEAN. We have an email, don't we?
Yes, indeed we do. Sky needs your help, and she'd like you to weigh in on her situation, if you don't mind.
We don't mind.
I went on a first date last week with a guy I met off Hinge. The date went really well, and by the time I got home, he texted me about hanging out again. The next day, he suggested a movie at his place on Saturday. Well, I wanted to avoid the Netflix and chill second date, so I said I was busy, and we agreed to a brunch date soon. So on Saturday, I went to show my friends his profile on Hinge, check out this guy I went out with, and he wasn't in my matches. He either unmatched me or deleted his account, and I have not heard from him. I should note I did some Facebook creeping and discovered he just got out of a 4-year relationship about a month ago. Could this ghosting be due to the sudden realization of his that he isn't ready to date? Or is there potentially something else? I was so excited about a first date that I finally enjoyed, and now I'm left more confused than ever.
Do we really need to answer this? I mean,
well,
Sky...
I do want to answer this.
Well, of course we're going to answer it.
No. Okay. So I have mixed emotions about the whole, like, when is it too early to start dating someone? And he just got, he recently got out of a 4-year relationship a month ago. That is like, okay, is he ready to seriously commit to another relationship or is he just looking to date around? So I was so excited on my first day that I finally enjoyed and now I'm left more confused than ever. Well, you know what? If he unmatched you, if he doesn't have a profile anymore on, where would you meet him?
Hinge.
On Hinge, then literally just move on to the next guy. You're on a dating app. I'm sure there's more fish in the sea. I wouldn't worry too much about him. And I would suggest to not go down a deep, dark hole and start to do a bunch of research and try to connect the dots. It's pretty simple. Whatever the case is, if you guys aren't meeting up and you guys aren't meeting up on the Saturday and there's all these like red flags, like don't, I would be like, run as fast as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared? This guy absolutely just wanted to sleep with you. Yeah. I mean, that's what it appears to me. He went on a date, found that you were cute, invited you over to his house the next night. You said no because you didn't want to do the Netflix and chill. Completely understandable. And then the next day, he unmatches you and unfriends you.
Peace, not out.
Deuces.
Women are so sweet and kind, you know, that she's like, well, you know what? I looked into it and you just got off a relationship. You must not be ready to date yet. That's not how guys think.
Absolutely not.
Completely different. I've been out of the game a while, but this guy just got dumped. He's looking to get back on the horse as quickly as possible. And that's the difference between men and women. Men like to get out there and get it going again. Women like to kind of be sad for a little bit. And then usually what happens is it reverses. Women after a couple of weeks get over it and want to get out there. Men after a couple of weeks realize what they're missing and they go through a little bit of a sad time too. But the couple of days after he broke up, he's looking to get out there and make some things happen. And that's where you came in, Sky. And I'm sorry that it wasn't for you, but it sounds like it wasn't. And
totally.
That's okay.
Sky, you were going to be the rebound girl.
Yeah.
It worked out well that you guys didn't end up hanging out. He just got out of a long-term relationship. Like Mark said, he's just getting back into the game. He's single now, and he's ready to mingle. And you weren't, which is completely fine. And he was like, okay, well, I'm on to the next.
You know what? Take it as a compliment. He thought you were really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's pretty good. Do we want to do the Alexis one?
Well, that one is kind of Dean-centric, but we can run through it.
Let's try it.
She just broke up after 4 years, and she wants to travel around alone to a different country or even just a different state. She lives on Long Island, New York. I'd love to hear any and all recommendations of a place that's solo traveler friendly, especially from Dean, since he travels alone so frequently. And if Dean needs a travel buddy, she's willing to be that person. Thank you in advance. Where have you guys gone that you could recommend to Alexis?
The first thing I would recommend to Alexis is... there is a difference between a guy traveling alone and a girl traveling alone. Mm-hmm. So please, wherever you go, do a lot of research if you end up going alone and be safe. You know, just if you go to some sort of resort, don't leave that area, things of that nature. For me, I don't know. Go to Hawaii. It worked out for Forgetting Sarah Marshall, you know?
I don't know. As a female, I don't think I'd feel safe traveling by myself, especially because like nowadays the way I travel, I just go with the flow and I don't know where I'm staying, what hotel I'm staying at, where to go eat and whatever. So I would always have to connect with strangers. So maybe I would suggest like find a friend who is supportive of what you're going through, or maybe someone that is in the same position as you, and make it a girls trip, like you and another girl, and then just like go hang out, or you and your sister, or I don't know. Dean travels quite a bit by himself, so he probably has way more information. And
he's
like
attacking South America right now.
Seriously, he's
according
all
to
over
his
the
Instagram.
Place.
But I don't know that I'd recommend that Alexis go to South America by herself.
No, I even would say maybe stay in the country.
No.
You know, if you're going to just do a nice little quick trip, a nice little...
Canada is always a safe option.
Canada, yes.
Awesome.
Anywhere within the Northern America continent. I would suggest, Alexis, you should probably go too. Well, that does it for our episode today. I want to do a couple quick big thank yous to Susan Trombetti for coming in and giving us all your knowledge about relationships. A big thank you to Amazon Fire TV. Again, you can head to amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to order a Fire TV of your very own. Thank you to Outdoor Voices, Vanessa's favorite, for 20% off your first order of $100 or more. You can visit outdoorvoices.com/help and enter HELP.
And I really want you guys to check out their my favorite pair of leggings, the two-tone leggings, the Coyote and Atmosphere Tech Sweat 3/4 length. My favorite, super cozy, super comfortable. They sculpt your derriere, and they're just great to travel in and to work out in.
Yeah.
Also for 23andMe, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit at 23andMe.com/Dean. Find out about your DNA. See if you got that muscle composition DNA that Jared definitely wants. Legacy Box, go to legacybox.com/Dean and save 40% off today. Also another great holiday gift idea.
And also a big thank you to Thrive Market. You can get an extra 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial at thrivemarket.com/Dean, D-E-A-N. Vanessa, you are wonderful as always. Thank you so much. Mark, Easton, Tori in studio. You guys are incredible. Thanks for myself, I guess. And guys, tune in next week. Please check out the Facebook group. I know I said every week, but it's incredible in there. A lot of discussion, a lot of friends being made, a lot of advice being thrown around. So check out the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast Facebook group. And tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.